Prospect. Welcome to you, Whispers.
Good morning, Gary. Good morning, everyone.
What happened there? Deep in discussion with about a potential talkback topic, and then you weren't aware that Riddler put you on.
No, well, we normally get some form of communication here, but anyway, we're off to a shaky start, but all good.
I'm not. No, you are.
You enjoyed all that. Yeah, I tell you who's off to a shaky start too, and that is the Spanish team at the World Cup. Can you believe this, right? So they Real Madrid, and I hope I get the pronunciation of this right, they announced Julen Lopetegui as...
What?
Lopetegui.
Jules, we'll call him.
Okay, we'll call him Jules, okay.
Yes.
As their new coach, right, to replace Zinedine Zidane, right, as the coach of Real Madrid, right?
Yep. After the World
Cup. Yeah, currently, though, he is the couple... Oh, he was the coach of the Spanish national team.
Yes, fair enough.
Upon hearing this... Mm-hmm. The Spanish authorities say, no, that's not the right way to go about things. So they sack him. Like 2 days out from the World Cup, they have sacked their coach. And they've replaced him with another coach, right, whose only coaching experience was for one season in second division Spanish football.
Right.
Can you imagine the turmoil?
Well...
Gary, can you imagine the turmoil?
No. What's the new coach's name?
I haven't got it written down yet.
It's easier to pronounce than the other one.
It's Felipe or... So, I don't know.
What that tells you is the tail...
Horatio.
The tail wags the dog over there in those big...
Fernando Herrero is his name.
Doesn't it? Isn't that the wash-up of that?
What?
That the big-name superstars run the show over there, not the coach.
No, this is not the players sacking him.
But what they're saying is the coach is not that important. The players run the show. Have I got this wrong?
No, you got that wrong. What they're saying?
I beg your pardon.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to
wash your mouth now.
I've never said this before to you, but
I don't think you're right about that.
If you don't mind me saying,
yes,
you've got that wrong.
Oh, that's like a slap in my face.
This is not the players saying that they're running the show.
Right.
This is the Spanish administration saying, no, you're not committed enough to the national team now. You're going to be taking calls about possible recruitment to Real Madrid. You won't be committed, so you're out.
You totally misread me, so I'm not wrong. I didn't say it was the players sacked him. I said the administration are looking at it going, he's only the coach. We got that good a team. We don't really need one.
No, I think it's just...
I
think you're wrong again. If you don't mind me saying, I think you've been wrong twice this morning.
Oh, crumbs.
Hey, can you imagine, though?
I cannot.
Oh, golly. Somebody over there in Spain that we could
talk
to.
We have got someone over there.
Who we got over in Spain?
We've got Hammer over there.
I'm talking about we need a Spanish man on the spot. Right. If you've got a friend that lives in Spain who knows their soccer, we'd love to speak to them this morning.
Or if you had a paella somewhere yesterday, give us a ring. Hey, Australia, let's get on to the cricket. Australia lost the first one-day international to England last night at the Oval.
I wonder
who watched it, because Davey Warner, I think, was in the commentary booth, wasn't he?
He's not on
the second one. All right, well, we won't take calls on that. 214 the Aussies made. England at one stage in response, 6 for 163, but they got over the line by 3 wickets. Glenn Maxwell back to form, 62 off 64 nuts. Agar made 40. Ty, Nisa and Stanlake took 2 wickets apiece. Ian Morgan, how do you reckon you'd pronounce that? E-O-I-N.
I won't be correcting you again today.
Well, you don't. Owen Morgan, Ian.
It's
Owen. Owen Morgan. Owen 69 off 74 nuts and Root. I know how to pronounce that. Yep. 50 off 71.
Oh, right.
It's a little cricket rap for you, Wisp.
So what did we lose by?
3 wickets. We only made 214. So they were cruising at 3 for one stage. Then they lost 3 quick wickets. So it's 6 for 163. There was a little whiff of a chance, but then they got across the line.
More importantly, how did we behave ourselves? Reports about any misbehaviour?
No reports. But if you watched last night, you might be up this early if you did. Gaz, don't talk about soccer. Keep to what you know. That's good point, Spence.
Okay. That narrows your subject base.
No, it doesn't. During this World Cup, I will never profess to know what's going on, but I'll be asking the questions.
And that's what you can do, because you've got a very curious mind sometimes. Pierre is Thomas Down. Good morning, Pierre.
Morning, gentlemen. Just want to set the record straight about the AFL background. But the Spanish coach, the reason he got sacked was because he just recently renewed his contract. and is actually the news broke that is going to manage Real Madrid after the World Cup by a Barcelona player on the Spanish team. That's why they brought it forward. But, yeah, so he's actually undefeated as Spanish manager.
Yep.
Yeah, and they've cracked sads, and they actually put in under-21s manager and then released another statement saying that there's another manager that's going to manage him. So it's just been one thing after another.
Yeah. It's not the perfect lead-up, is it, for the World Cup?
Probably not, and I actually got Spain in my World Cup sweep, so I'm not really happy.
No, I wouldn't be either, Pierre.
I would have thought you might have got the French, but that would be stereotyping. Thanks for ringing us up and setting us straight on that, although that's what you did say.
I did say that. To you. Yeah, but there's a bit more jam in the donut there from Pierre.
Was there?
Yeah.
What was it?
The fact that he'd just re-signed, okay, Julen had re-signed, so he'd extended his Spanish...
Re-signed with who?
No, as a Spanish national coach.
I thought he said, yeah.
So he'd negotiated the longer-term deal.
Right.
And the story was actually broken by a player on Twitter.
Well, there was some jam in the donut from Pierre.
Yeah. Because I said to you before I came on air today, I watched the soccer program last night, and they were talking about this on ESPN.
Oh, you watched the soccer program?
I watched the soccer program.
That's why you've come in thinking you know everything.
No, what? You know, just because I do a little bit of research sometimes.
Well, what? Because you watch one soccer program, you're now suffering.
That's one more than you've watched. Can we get on to something where it's a little bit safer?
What would you pay for a good dog?
Well, I know how much I've paid for a good dog.
What? How much did you pay for your dog, Brando, the Italian, that does nothing other than sit around the house and fart, basically, doesn't it? What else does it do, Brando? You reckon it chases things down at the farm?
He is a magnificent dog.
What's he chase at the farm?
He chases scents.
What has he actually done other than eat?
He's been a great friend to me.
Yes.
He lies on my bed at night time and warms that up before I hop into
that's
bed.
Good. What'd you pay for him? How many sheets? Come on, tell our audience. They're part of our
family. I don't
family.
Like to talk about
tell
stuff.
Tell the family what you pay. Oh, otherwise I'll tell them.
Three and a half.
What's the most 9429 1116? What is the most amount of sheets you've parted with for an animal? Because on the week, I don't know, it was the weekend or whenever, there was a Kelpie dog sale. It was in Casterton,
yeah.
Casterton, I think. $22,000 for this number one sheep herding Kelpie. Is it a bitch?
Yes.
Was it a bitch? Was it?
No, it's a dog. Two-year-old, yeah. So
2-year-old bitch, or is it a 2-year-old male dog?
His name's...
Oh, it's a he, is it?
Yeah, I think it's a he. Right. Glencairn's... Yeah, I think it's a... Yeah, it must be. It must be a male.
A bitch, I would have thought a bitch would get more for a good bitch, because then you could breed from them.
Yeah, but this is the
I
one...
I can understand the 22,000.
This is the one that
bitch.
Covers the bitch, though.
Yeah, I know, but if
Redoute's choice is more valuable than a mare.
Well, not if the mare could spit out 8 foals at once.
I think you've been wrong again for the third time today.
Why?
Because a stallion is always more valuable than a mare.
You didn't listen to me.
I'm listening to you, Gary, but if you're not making sense, I've just got to keep talking and covering for your inabilities to be able to communicate
properly.
I know
the stallion's more valuable than the mare, but if the mare was capable of spitting out 8 foals at once... Then the mare would be more valuable than the stallion.
It's always going to be the animal that covers the mare. That's the way that it works. That's where the value lies.
What's the most you've paid for an animal? 22.
What's the most you've ever paid for a dog? Because you had a
Bernese Mountain
a
dog.
Big Bernese Mountain dog.
I had
dog.
Two, in actual fact. Yeah. I had 1.5.
How much did they cost?
What did they cost? I don't know. Up around 2, maybe.
Because somebody close to us on this program, they're looking for a dog. I think I'm allowed to talk about this. And I think that they've set their budget at 4.5.
For the Black Sox?
Yeah.
That'd be the most valuable thing he owns. He buys a $4,500 dog.
That's worth $2,500 more than his car.
This man's bought 2 French bulldogs, man or woman, I don't know, because they're anonymous, for $5,000 each. He bought 2 of them. That's a lot of money, for a bulldog.
Oh, they're a very expensive dog. A very expensive dog. I think this too. Crozier has just said that he thinks you're enjoying saying the word bitch far too much this morning.
Crozier, good friend of ours, grow up. We can say bitch in relation to a dog. You don't have to giggle like a little schoolgirl, you and Wispy together.
You're enjoying
grow up.
You are enjoying it.
No,
too,
I'm not.
$3,500 for a French Bulldog. That's another one that's come through. We called him Rambo. Gave him a tough name because he's not a tough dog. I think $5,000 for my French Bulldog.
Come on,
the breeder. The breeder wanted $8,500.
What?
That's not what a French Bulldog is worth now, is it? $8,500.
It's good negotiating. He's got them down from 8.5 to 5.
There's another person close to me that bought a bulldog, an Australian bulldog, and he paid $4,500.
Toby One Kenobi paid $4,500 for a bulldog. God help me. That's a lot of money for a bulldog. They're not, what do they do, bulldogs? They can't even run.
They don't do anything. They don't do anything. In fact, he misbehaved yesterday at the park. Virginia nearly broke her back trying to pull him off another dog who he's fighting with. So now he's been sent to my place for me to look after him for the next couple of days. Hey, and my daughters went and they bought a pug, right?
Yep.
And the price that they were quoted for a good pug was about $3,000, right? Then they saw one advertised. They saw one advertised for $800, right? Well, so they bought the $800 pug, Jose, who now is our dog as well. And he is the most magnificent dog, but I worked out why he was discounted.
Why? Because he's not a pug.
Because his tongue doesn't fit in his mouth.
What?
That's why they got a discount. Poor little Jose.
I need an ad break because this man reckons I'm on world record pace for mistakes. That's Max from Hobart.
I don't think you've ever had a bad start.
No, actually, about the stallion, you might be right on that, actually. Because then you can sort of... like the bulls, you can store the semen, and you can have forever for perpetuity.
You're really off this. And what do you want to talk about? Bitches and semen.
Spain played Portugal in their first clash of the World Cup on Saturday morning at 4 a.m. our time. Then the same group as Iran and Morocco. I don't know. You didn't mention that.
Oh, here we go.
What?
This is the clubhouse leader. Yeah. I paid $15,000 to import a Rottweiler.
I don't believe that.
Ben. No, that would be true.
I don't believe that. Ring Ben up and find out if that is actually true. That's a good buy.
Well,
that'd be a good buy.
Well, nothing wrong
if you didn't want to breed with the dog.
Well, exactly. That's exactly. I had to take Brando to the vet. Cost $1,000 to get the same result.
Wrong again, Gary. Can't store a thoroughbred semen. Must live mate to be a racehorse. I said the bull, did I not?
Yeah, I think you
said were the bull. One who said you could store a horse semen. I couldn't find it. That was from Krazza. It was on Gem last night, Kraz. My wife paid $1,500 for a cat. That's from That's from Michael in Ashwood.
Hang on. Somebody's not happy with us talking about other stuff other than sport.
Okay, what does it say?
Let me read it.
Stop talking about animals and talk about footy. Sick and tired of you two. Sam Edmund should be in your seats instead. You do this nearly every morning. Nobody cares about anything but sport. Otherwise, we would listen to a rival station. All right.
Okay, straight
chase, suitably chased.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Here comes
board.
A man who should be in our seat. Well, he would be if he didn't have a day off yesterday.
Well, I just fired off that text, actually. Just slipped the phone back.
We will not stray from here on in ever and talk about anything other than sport, okay?
Yes, are you
with me on that?
No, we certainly will be. Welcome, Sam.
Good to be back with you, Gary and Tim, and he did a good job yesterday, I heard.
Magnificent.
Good on him.
You heard, you would have been texted many times yesterday.
I slept for nearly 15 hours yesterday, but I'm back and ready to go.
You look fresh.
I feel 100 times better.
Just talk sport, mate. We're not interested in what you did yesterday.
Okay, good. All right, let's start with it then, because the Aussies, we have crashed a defeat in the opening game of the one-day series against England at the Oval. New skipper Tim Payne introduced his now customary pre-match handshake. I don't know if you guys saw this, but at the start of every series now, the Aussies will try to do this. They line up, they shake hands. He then won the toss. That did us no good either. So batting first, we never really got going. We fell to 5 for 90, eventually cleaned up for 214 inside 47 overs. Glenn Maxwell, some resistance there with 62, Ashton Agar 40, but the top order failed. Aaron Finch 19, Travis Head 5, Sean Marsh 24, Marcus Stoinis 22, and we look vulnerable against spin. And the Poms played two of them. The home side got there easily in the end. Three wickets in hand, six overs to spare. Owen Morgan, 69, leading the way. Like Michael Nessa, the debutant, he took two. Andrew Tye, two wickets, and Billy Stanlake as well. And Tim, you like this. There was a predictable bid by the locals to get under our skin. I was watching this thinking, how are they going to try and needle us? You know what they did? They handed out the sixes and fours signs, which isn't unusual, but they were printed on massive yellow sandpaper sheets that you get from your Bunnings.
Yeah, I like that.
And
like
a big yellow set. 5,000 of those bad boys out in the crowd.
Oh, thumbs up. Yeah.
There you go. Now, the World Cup starts tonight when Russia open this huge event against Saudi Arabia, although they're the two lowest-ranked teams in the tournament. Many saying this is the worst match to open a World Cup in history. The Russians loved by no one. Saudis just getting in there. But we may have got our quota of fireworks already, and they involve the team that don't play until Saturday. Of course, earlier you discussed Spain manager, or former Spain manager, Julen Lopetegui. Yesterday sacked, Spanish FA chiefs not happy that... He's announced he's going to Real Madrid.
He didn't announce it, by the way.
No, he kept it secret.
He kept it secret. Somebody else announced it on his behalf.
Yeah, about 5 minutes before the statement came out. Now, there's a lot of Barcelona-Real Madrid factions that have been sort of papered over inside that Spanish squad, and no doubt a lot of people like us would look at that and think, how can you sack a guy 2 days out from the World Cup? But it runs deep there in Spain. So they'll get a new coach 2 days out from the World Cup. The Socceroos, they've upped the intensity ahead of their World Cup opener against the French. Andrew Nabu and Trent Sainsbury. Cameras catching those two involved in a spike exchange at training yesterday. Andrew Nabu did discuss it and he played it down.
No, it was nothing in it, to be honest. It was just emotions at training. I was more angry at myself, to be honest. But no issues there. Camaraderie's high in the team.
Did you feel like you were being unfairly singled out by Trent?
No. I always take everything on board. It was just, like I said, more angry at myself.
Now, Antoine Griezmann, guys, is the French star the Aussies will have to combat come Saturday night. Now, Griezmann plays his club football in Spain and is the subject of some pretty intense interest over a potential move from Atletico Madrid to a Barcelona or Real Madrid. Now, Griezmann fronted the media yesterday with the French really keen to avoid these tricky questions over his club future. So they demanded all questions be in French to kill off any questions from those pesky Spanish journalists.
Good thinking.
Well, one of those Spanish journalists took matters into his own hands, and obviously he couldn't speak French, but he's familiar with Google Translate. He pulled his phone out in the middle of the press conference and put the microphone to it. Let's have a listen to how it played out.
Oui, il y a une question ici. En français, hein? Français. Oui.
Je suis Pedro. Je voulais vous demander si vous avez pris la décision d'arrêter la saison.
Non, question suivante. Vous passez à côté, s'il vous plaît.
Not, s'il vous plaît, not. The French press officer, not a happy man.
He'd been
found out, so they moved on. Last night, the USA, Canada and Mexico given the 2026 World Cup. So they're going to host this event in 2026, beating Morocco, who has now bid and lost five times, Morocco. I reckon they might have to try something else. Maybe go for the Olympics or...
You know what it is?
Not enough sheets.
You
reckon they would be in Morocco, though, wouldn't you? Anyway,
they've
bid and lost five times. Tiger Woods, he's revealed his plans to beat Long Island's infamous traffic snarls at the US Open starting tomorrow. Now, some players are saying it's taking them 2 to 3 hours to get to and from the official hotels to Shinnecock Hills, where the US Open's being played. Now, Woods has taken matters into his own hands. Let's have a listen to where Tiger is staying.
Yeah, staying on the dinghy helps. makes traffic so much easier. There are a few guys so far this week I've said it's taken them from the hotel 2.5 to 3 hours. You know, there's a good chance that someone might miss their time.
Now, that dinghy is his $26 million super yacht that is moored at a place called Sag Harbour, just around the corner from Shinnecock Hills. It's got a jacuzzi, 9 crew,
what's the cinemas. Harbour?
Sag Harbour.
Oh, I thought you said something else. The yacht itself, it's a biggie, Gary. It's a very, very big yacht. I think it's about 155 foot long.
I saw it on your little news service last night, you and Mitch.
Yeah.
I think you referred to it as a dinghy, or did Mitch?
Mitch referred to it as a dinghy. It's got an eight-person spa on
You weren't happy with that. You thought it'd be a bigger spa.
Well, did you or not?
Well, no, I hadn't. Yeah, that hadn't occurred to me.
That only fits Tiger and Seven in there. I thought... That would be the minimum.
It's a change, man, Wisp.
Okay.
Amateur qualifier, Garrett Rank. How's this? He says he's going to be starstruck when he tees up at the US Open alongside our Aaron Baddeley, despite his day job as a referee in the NHL. He's a hockey ref. He refereed the early stage of the playoffs and then set about qualifying for the US Open. So he's going to go and tee off there. That is unbelievable. Survived testicular cancer, advanced through 36-hole sectional qualifying in Georgia last week, and now going to tee off at the US Open, that massive golf tournament.
Oh, good on him.
Okay, now I heard you guys talking about Ray Chamberlain yesterday, and we will get to footy, or I will, at 7:25, but this caught my ear. Now, you didn't like it, Gary.
In fact, the text just came through, too much sport. Can we get back not to enough talking about animals?
Right. Ray Chamberlain. Yep. He didn't like it. He thought it was condescending.
I thought it was talking a bit young, but there were others that texted us who said they loved it. So
okay.
It depends where you were brought up.
Well, only recently, Gary, and only in the last 24 hours, has audio been matched to some old vision in the MLB, the Major League Baseball series from 2016. It's a famous exchange between the New York Mets manager, Terry Collins, absolutely losing his rag, and a referee there trying to calm him. Now, to give you some context, the Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard was ejected from a game against the Dodgers in 2016 for a dangerous pitch.
Yep.
Tried to target. It was seen as payback for an incident that had happened earlier. Now, Terry absolutely loses it. Now, wait till you see how the referee handles this one. And you reckon Ray Chamberlain was a little stern. Have a listen to how calm this manager is in the face of some fierce, fierce backlash from old mate Tezza.
You gotta give us a shot!
You know what?
You gotta give us
Terry,
a shot!
Okay,
Tom.
Listen to me, let me hear what I'm saying, okay? You get your shot. You had your shot right there in the situation.
Well, why not?
You know the situation,
I
Terry!
Mean, why okay. don't you get a shot, Tommy?
Because that doesn't that makes it worse! Yeah. Terry, that makes it worse!
I'm better than that, Tommy. You know that!
That's you got it. You got get it, you got everything out.
You got everything out. Now get out. You got everything out.
I prefer that than
the one
Ray and Griggy. Now, calm down.
I thought you would. Now, as I said, we'll come back at 7:25 with some footy, but we get some fantastic callers here on this station. Now, before I let you go, we're looking for our best caller this week for a special prize. And if you win, you'll represent us, 1116 SEN team, in the Bingo Bins Kick It to Win It promotion in this 2018 Toyota AFL Premiership season. The Hawks take on the Crows at the G this Saturday. One lucky winner, Gary, will get tickets to the game and at quarter time the opportunity to kick a Sharon into a bingo bin for a shot at 20,000.
I watched this.
Last year?
I watched it at quarter time.
At quarter time?
Yeah.
I've seen someone flush it once. Yeah. It does happen. So all thanks to Bingo Bins, of course. For hassle-free waste removal, call Bingo on 1-300-424-646 for 20K if you get it in the bingo bin.
So how do you...
Our best caller this week.
Oh, so give us a call and you get on the running for that 20 grand. That's a fantastic prize.
Well, we want animals, footy, everything, Tim.
Hey, Blue Neo, great
Don't
work,
mention animals.
Field Marshal. A lot of people want to know why you're called Field Marshal. Is it in today, the field, your column?
It's in a Wednesday.
It's on Wednesday in the Herald Sun. Sammy writes an article under the sort of pseudonym of the Field Marshal.
Alter ego.
We love it. A Blue Neo Mastiff imported out of Italy for $22,000. That's a lot of money. We're talking animals.
That's
much to the chagrin of one of our listeners. You can take the boys out of the country, but not the country out of the boys. Sport and the country are wrapped up in one station. Keep it up. That's Shirley from Deterang.
No, well, I'm not talking animals.
Shirley
anymore.
Loved it. Sam here from Renault. It's not just a van, it's my van. Renault's end of financial year. Get the Renault traffic from $31,990. After the break, the quiz. What do you got? Prize-wise.
I got lots of stuff. Lots and lots and lots of stuff. Two platinum tickets for the Wallabies test this Saturday at Amy Park. Platinum, Gary.
Platinum? What's
platinum.
That mean?
I know you've been after my platinum card. There's two platinum tickets for the Wallabies test this Saturday at Amy Park.
Well, when Margie Zeta gets my platinum card, you'll be very, very jealous.
Thanks to Ballpark Entertainment. How are we going so far?
I've got a German Shepherd, so I'll clearly be a German correspondent. I've watched Breaking Bad three times. Can I be the Iceland correspondent? I'm always in a hurry. Can I be the Russian correspondent? I live in Sandy. I think that qualifies me to be the Saudi Arabian correspondent.
I don't think it does.
Come on, Wisp. I thought you were going to get a better response to that. And I got the varied views last night on the footy show. Tuned in. Someone said...
they thought it was fantastic.
Watched as usual. It was a great show. That's from Brett and Backus Marsh. And then this one says, watched for the first time with a wife. Hasn't watched for a couple of years. After 5 minutes, she said, what is going on? Turned it off. So there you go. Polarising as it tends to be.
There was one thing, though, that we have been alerted to that Sam Newman talked about on that program, and I know that he talked about it with Grant Thomas and also Mike Sheen on the podcast as well, and that's about Grant Thomas, the possibility of Grant Thomas putting his hand up to the club chairman, president, Peter Summers, and offering his services back at St Kilda in some capacity.
To do what?
I don't know what he's offered to actually do or be, but apparently that's the story, yeah.
Always good to have great football people wanting to help their football club. Richard Hummerson's on the ground in Russia. Oh, that's good. He can do a bit of a scene setter for us. G'day, Hummer.
Privet Otorosa, comrades.
What's that? Oh, I have three beers.
No, I don't know. I think it's hello, my friends from Russia.
How is it over there? Tell us about it. Is it the sort of atmosphere that you'd expect for one of the world's great sporting events?
I tell you what, it's the Kremlin is not for the faint-hearted, gentlemen. We're with the Green and Gold Army, so we're with about 400 Australians here, but we're about probably 30 k's out of the Red Square, and so we're in the real sort of Soviet Cold War sort of type setup. So it is. Look, it's a bit rough, but since the 400 Aussies arrived today, you're just starting to really get into that World Cup sort of feel. So it got off to a slow start, but we're certainly getting there.
And the Australians themselves, is there a bit of the confidence building about this first performance against France, or...?
Let's be honest, we're no chance. We're playing against the best side in the world. I mean, France's second side would beat us. We've got them at sports bet at $1.24. We've got the Aussies at $14, I think. But, look, everyone's just excited just to be here and get around it, and probably more excited for the games against Denmark and Peru, where, you know, we're realistically a chance of getting it, you know, at least a point.
What about the cuisine over there, Hummer?
I'll tell you what, Tim. If you're coming to Russia and you haven't got on the plane yet, stock up, because the food here is absolutely terrible. I can't tell you how bad it is. I had a chicken. Now,
what'd you have?
I ordered a chicken Kiev. Well, I ordered a chicken Kiev today because I was thinking that surely that is a meal that they can't get wrong. They're a stone's throw away from Ukraine. Hmm. I reckon I've worked out the bottom line behind the conflict between these two countries, because the Ukraine will not share the correct way to cook one. It was absolutely horrendous. So much so that the best thing I ate, we did like an eating challenge for our sports but social media channels. I ate canned horse.
Your
horse in a can.
Chingos.
And it's been the best meal I've had.
I think that horse you ate in that can, I think I backed that during the spring carnival.
Hey, Hummer, is there like a McDonald's there?
There is schnitz? McDonald's. We're trying to ingrain ourselves there? In the culture, guys. You can't come across this side of the world and go to Macca's.
No, we're talking about Papa Schnitz. Is there a Schnitz here?
I don't know if Schnitz has made it this far. I wish they had.
Well, what about your accommodation? Yes, you happy?
You're in a big, one of those big sort of palaces?
This is another tick in the negative comment for us here, boys. I'm sharing a room with my good friend Hammy, who I've come over from Sportsbet, and we're in a room about 3 metres by 3 metres, pale green walls, no television, the shower doesn't work, and the toilet is essentially still in the room.
Hummer,
it's not in the bathroom.
You're not getting a job for Russia Tourism. I'll give you this mail right now.
No, I'm sure it will get much better as we move location and the actual football starts. But it's been a rough trot, to say the least.
We'll stay in touch, because you've painted a beautiful picture for us.
I can't
there.
Wait to get there.
No, Wisp and I were very jealous about the fact we weren't covering the World Cup until this interview with you. Stay safe, my friend.
About this junket. Thanks, boys. I'll chat to you shortly.
That's Richard Hummerston, who we know well from Sportsbet, of course, our great friends. He's over there on a tour.
Do you reckon the canned horse would take off over here?
I'm not sure about that. But there'd be no shortage of possible donations from racing horse owners.
How much would you pony up for a can of horse?
Oh, good one. Nice one. I've been to the World Cup.
Have you?
Yeah, I was in the World Cup.
Oh, you were with Harry?
In Munich.
With Harry Kuehl?
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic.
That's when you beat the other bloke to the interview.
That's right.
And he gave you the...
Ray.
The stink eye.
Yeah. Okay, Ray, hiding a bugger off, Ray. In the beer halls of Munich, watching the World Cup on big screens was absolutely magnificent. Doesn't sound to me quite like the atmosphere in Russia, but maybe... I think Wayne Crawford went over there as well for the footy show to do some street talk. Maybe we should put a call into him to see if he's got a better experience than Richard Hummerston. Hey, after seven, some serious footy stuff. The Thursday night footy tonight, Port Adelaide take on the Western Bulldogs. What's up for Jack Watts? What's up for Jordan Roughead, who's been omitted as well? Mitch Wallace back in. We've got Alex Rance on social media. The response from the Crows after Sam McClure's big stories. Lots to talk about after seven. We try always. To be. We always. Try to be balanced.
Good, bad, and indifferent.
Get this the ignorant person. That would be Hummer off the radio. Russia doing. It's got much more to offer than that. And then this, my son got back from a week in Moscow. Said it was the best place to visit. Food was great, etc. So
further to that, Hummer said that you can buy a can of horse meat over there in Russia. Okay, so I just want to put this to you, right? If I was in Russia and I only felt a little bit hungry, could I buy myself a can of Shetland pony? Or not?
Can you what?
If I was only a little bit hungry, could I buy... Oh.
I'm not sure you... I don't know. I'm not sure about the appropriateness or otherwise doing jokes on horses like that. Wisp.
You know what, though? This is the point, though. In some parts of the world...
It's horse, a delicacy. Horse,
in France, in some parts of France, horse is a delicacy.
So you're not being like... No,
you and I, you and I are worldly people.
Yep.
And we are prepared to chase... Okay. Chase and tried cuisines from all over the world.
Are you called Shane Crawford Wayne Gary? Ha ha ha. Now that is a little in-joke I have with Shane. That is exactly right. I do call him Wayne as a sort of nickname. Okay. Righto, let's get into some footy stuff. And these are the issues we want to talk about. Alex Rance, he was on Instagram last night on the racism debate, the terrible thing that was on Instagram about Eddie Betts. We all think it's just way, way out of line. And Alex Rance took to Instagram to voice his opinion, Tim. I want to have a listen to it if you haven't heard it, and then I'll get your thoughts.
I still am so astounded and shocked that this still happens in society today. It's so backward and unacceptable. Eddie Betts, of all players, is someone who you could always say brings that excitement and passion to our game. And it's so frustrating that at this point, it's still happening in our society. And I don't think the players can have a strong enough stance on this.
Editorialising from one of the elder statesmen in the competition. What were your thoughts on that?
I love it. I love the fact that they take the social media and they put their own messages out there. You know, the interesting thing about all this, though, was I was around some journalists at the time, and they weren't particularly happy because they thought that, you know, we wanted to get a comment from Alex Rance about diving at that time when he was embroiled in that controversy about a week or two ago. He wouldn't make comment about it, but he's prepared to go and do something like this. And I say to anybody that has any disagreement with this is the players just exercising their right to be able to put out there for everybody to view whatever it is that they might be thinking at the time. And I think all strength to him and any other AFL player that wants to do likewise. I think it's powerful to do this.
A petty response from the journos. It is, though, because they are fighting for that space, and all of a sudden players are taking back control of their ability to talk. Once upon a time, if you wanted to say something like Alex had to say, you had to go to the journo or to the the sort of more traditional media outlets. Now they can just jump on their phone and do it. And
you can pick and choose when or if you want to do something too. And I'd be surprised if we don't see other AFL players doing
well.
Likewise.
They do. They've got 24/7 and all those websites, players own, all that stuff now where they're writing their own stuff and doing their own stories. 9/14/11/16, give us your thoughts on any of these topics as we roll along.
Okay, yesterday, we know that the big game tonight is in Adelaide between Port Adelaide and the Bulldogs.
Yep.
Jack Watts has been dropped by the Port Adelaide Football Club. What do we read? It's not the first time he's been dropped in his career. We thought, okay, he's gone over there. He was given the opportunity to rebuild his career at Port Adelaide. They embraced him. They wanted him, all that type of thing. Why isn't it working out?
Well, clearly he's not doing some things that I listened to Ken Hinckley last night. It's not a big deal. I mean, there will be a lot of people going around trying to feel vindicated from Melbourne supporters who would be saying, oh, see, that's why we got rid of him, blah, 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 blah. It's not like that. It's just that, hey, this is a side that are pretty deep, and he's going to go back to the SA NFL and get some form. Once upon a time, this was sort of par for the course for most players.
And I think Jack has a history, doesn't he, of getting comfortable. Like,
Jack wouldn't be at Port Adelaide if this wasn't a chance to happen. That's the bottom line, because he does. He doesn't play on the edge, and that's the reason he's not at Melbourne, is because he wasn't an on-the-edge player by his own admission.
He's a conundrum, that's what he is.
By his own admission.
That's right.
Don't worry about anyone else's opinion. By his own admission, footy's not the be-all and end-all, and he's, and therefore he doesn't play like the desperado that perhaps we want him to be. So he gets dropped every now and then.
It's not in his DNA be like that. But this is not the end of Jack Watts either, though.
Hundreds of players have gone back to the VFL or the blow-on thing and found form.
Let's
the other one is more interesting.
Just before we move on, this is what Ken Hinckley had to say on Jack Watts yesterday.
I think it's the balance for the going forward too. We still want Jack part of our side. We brought Jack here for that reason, to help us, and he'll still help us a lot. Jack knows his form hasn't been at the level he would like it to be, and he understands the reasons for it.
Join us anytime you like to 9429 1116. If we're so moved, I've got some great prizes to give away this morning. I've got a Burley Seekham footy to give away too at some stage.
They're not cheap. Haven't bought one recently.
Bevo. Luke Beveridge said an extraordinary thing. He said an interesting thing last week when he was talking about Jordan Roughead and about the fact that he's a free agent.
And Mitch Wallace.
And Mitch Wallace, all that type of thing. About, you know, they've got to start showing us some form and which we raised our eyebrows. It was putting somebody on public notice.
Exactly right.
About what the coach thought about his player. A week later, he's dropped him. Okay, so he didn't get the response that he thought he might get. Is that how you read it?
Yeah, and look, I think weather has probably got a bit to do with it.
It is going to be tonight.
It's going to be really wet.
But then they're going to take other tall players.
Yeah, that's right. So I got a little bit of, I'm at my wit's end with Jordan last week out of what Luke Beveridge had to say. I'm at my wit's end. I've tried everything. We've tried him in different positions. He was really poor in a game I watched. It might have been against Melbourne even a couple of weeks ago. And he said, I'll try one more thing, and that is to publicly put it on him. And now he's been dropped. So we're led to believe that I would think that his career at the Western Bulldogs is in some jeopardy, given he's a free agent too, is he not?
Yeah. I'd be interested to see how much interest there might be in somebody like him, because he hasn't, in my mind, he hasn't ever really been able to nail a position on the ground.
He was unbelievable in that grand final. You like most of them.
Yeah. He was sort of, but he's never really been the big forceful ruckman. He's never really been a key position forward. He's never really been a consistent key position defender either. So that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, you know, like if you get him, it's like he's a bit part type player. And I think a little bit like Jack Watts too, he's got to be playing on the edge. I mean, he's got to be doing all those defensive, desperate things for him to have real value out there.
Yeah, and he's a fantastic fellow who's got other stuff going on in his life, and maybe footy's not the be-all and end-all for him either, Wisp. Maybe it once was, but maybe now he's in a stage of his life where it's not the be-all and end-all. And we the clubs, demand their players to be, when they're at the club at the game time, to be that, you know, desperate, ferocious competitor. They're absolutely willing to have them have lives outside of footy. But when in the life outside of footy starts to impact in terms of, maybe I'm getting to a stage in my career where that's a bit more palatable, well, that's when it starts to have an impact.
We had Greg Swan on our program last week. I think it might have been last week or the week before, addressing, in fact, it was on May 30. He was addressed those rumours regarding Dane Beams and the stories around that he wanted to come back to Melbourne. This is what he had to say on May 30, Greg Swan.
We were surprised, and I actually rang his manager just to check, and he was as surprised as we were, and it was actually quite angry about it.
Okay, Tommy Brown on Seven's Talking Footy went with the same story again after those denials on Monday night, said that, yes, Dane Beams does want to return to Melbourne. After that, post that, Greg Swan took the extraordinary step to sit down, not so much extraordinary to sit down with Dane Beams, because obviously he wanted to know from him what he was thinking. Mm-hmm. He said no, he's not thinking about going back to Melbourne. Spoke to his manager said no, he's not thinking about going back to Melbourne. And then a club whose name had been mentioned by Tom Brown on Talking Footy on Monday night was Essendon. He rang Adrian Dodora, who's the recruiting manager of Essendon, and said, have you been speaking to either Paul Connors and Dane Beams? Is he on your radar? And he said no, he hasn't entered our view at all. So what do we make of that now? Because there are denials in football all the time. People have stories put to them. I know of a story right now that is true, and the story's been put to somebody. I said, no, look, it's just too sensitive for us to talk about it now, so we'll deny it.
Well, that's I've read that in the Herald Sun, and Mark Robinson's written that. That's as emphatic as you can get. So for me, I say, I take that at face value.
But I take you back 12 months, okay, when Sam McClure broke the story about the fact that Luke Hodge, Luke Hodge wasn't going to play football again.
No.
Luke Hodge himself said That is a ridiculous story.
No, Sam's story was that he was going to play footy again up in Queensland.
Well, that's what, did I not say that?
He said wasn't.
Yeah, okay, sorry. He was going to play. Yeah. Luke Hodge denied it.
That's right.
Publicly.
That is right.
His manager denied it.
That is right.
The Hawthorn Football Club said, no, that couldn't be possibly the case.
That's right.
And the story was put to both the Suns and the Lions at the time, and they denied it.
They laughed and scoffed, and then Sam McClure got vilified and eviscerated by everyone, including our audience, for being an idiot and a peanut and a pill.
So the bottom line is, it's possible that the Dave Beam story is still true.
I know. It's unbelievable, isn't it? The other story on both back pages of the papers is Paddy Cripps and Charlie Curnow look set to recommit to the Blues. Now, they haven't.
They haven't signed yet.
They haven't.
No, but they will. Yeah, is that the story?
Well, that is a story. And
that's both in The Age and The Herald Sun this morning.
From a Carlton point of view, they would be filthy. Not filthy, but for them, this would be the biggest thing that happens to them this year. If they can come out and announce that Patrick Cripps and Charlie Curnow have recommitted for 2, 3, 4 years, that's their grand final. Mm. I mean, they've only won one game for the year.
No, and that's exactly what
and
you
need.
And
that's they're trying to control that, aren't
that's
they?
Right. But if you're where Carlton are at right now, they need some good, positive, optimistic stories to be able to sell to their members. Interestingly, Curnow's talking about a 4-year deal, and Cripps is talking about a 2-year deal.
Yeah. What do you read into that?
Well, I don't. I think I would probably say that Cripps is being more cautious about what his value might be in 2 years' time as opposed to Curnow. That's what I'd be reading.
Well, Charlie's a Melbourne boy and Patrick's a West Australian boy.
Well, that is true. That is a fact. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
so
maybe
you're reading into it that okay, Cripps is saying okay, I'm still uncertain as to the vision that you are selling me but I'm just putting that out there, okay?
Yeah, that's not what I'm saying.
No, but that's a possibility, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And that would be a reasonable possibility, okay? I'll commit for another 2 years. You're selling me this story about, you know, where you think Carlton is at, how we're going to grow, how we're going to develop over the next 2 years. I don't want to commit beyond 2 years. I'm going to commit for 2 years. Yes, you'll get everything I can give you for 2 years, but I want to just wait and see where we're at after 2 years.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to differentiate between his 2 and Carly's 4, if that's what it turns out to be. I don't think it's that. I think it's more of the fact that Charlie Curnow is saying, I live in Victoria. There's no pull for me to go anywhere else. Mm. I'm going to, and therefore I am committed to this footy club, whereas Patrick's saying, I too am committed to this footy club, but undeniably I'm from Western Australia. And maybe in the back of his mind, there's some sort of pull to eventually want to go home.
And that's a possibility too.
Hey, best call this week goes in the running.
What? That's a very strong point from you.
It took an hour and 18 minutes for me to get there.
Nearly 19, actually. An hour and 19.
The 14th of June, Thursday night footy tonight. Port Adelaide take on the
Bulldogs.
Thank you. Todd Marshall back's a great story as well. The Field Marshal is back and joins us. He might want to talk about that as well. Lots of text messaging coming through on record pace, in actual fact, so I'm enjoying those. Although the old one just comes out of the blue. What about this one, Wisp? Tim, you've played 3 premierships, 5 grand finals. You've played in so many finals. Gary's got none at all. That was his message, message.
We can't argue with that, Gary. It's a statement of fact.
That's mean.
You can't change
that's
it.
That's a mean one just out of the blue, isn't it?
Just bang.
Welcome, Marshall.
Hello, Gary. Hello, Tim.
Hello, Field.
How are we?
Oh, we're going well good. On a lively morning with lots around.
Look, we have. It's the bye weekend process at the moment, obviously. We're just in the middle of a 3-week block, and this is when a lot of conversations take place between players
Field
and
Marshall,
managers.
Hand in the air. I've got a question, Marshall, before you
fire.
Launch into your comprehensive sports wrap. Why are we doing Thursday night footy at a time when we've got less games?
Can't answer that one, Gary. I can't.
I had Gill in here yesterday, and what about Jared Shaw dominating the sports media landscape yesterday? All of the news had vision of him talking to Bucks. All of the news had him talking to Gil McLaughlin. That's great work.
Outstanding.
I digress.
But I like Thursday nights, but you're saying it's spread out too thin.
I do too, but I would have thought on a roster full of 9 games would be the time to bring in the Thursday night.
Don't point at me.
Well, no, what I'm saying is you might be the best qualified person to answer this question.
Because
of your links to the broadcaster, obviously.
I don't do the fixture scheduling.
Well, I know
is
you
not
don't.
Part of my portfolio.
No, I'm aware of that. Your tentacles do reach a long way.
It's done by my underlings, and it only gets to me if there's some sort of an impasse.
Sorry, my fault. Andrew Gaff, he's one of those players I mentioned as held contract talks over West Coast by weekend. The 25-year-old, he's a restricted free agent, guys. no closer to reaching an agreement with the Eagles. In fact, there's a significant difference between what the Eagles are offering and what's coming from a clutch of Victorian clubs over here, including Carlton, St Kilda and North Melbourne. In fact, there's a real chance Gaff could leave the club. Now, sources really close to him say he wants to stay, and there's every chance he could stay. But the words put to me were that he'd be an amazing person if he did stay. Such is the discrepancy between the offers on the table from West Coast and the offers coming from a clutch of Victorian clubs, as I say. So the Eagles offer reported to be around $750,000 a year over 4 years. There's a real squeeze on there. So Nick Nat, his contract expires next year. So does Josh Kennedy. They're on around seven figures each. Shuey and Elliot Yeo last year signed lucrative long-term deals as well. Jack Darling signed on for three. Jeremy McGovern won't and probably shouldn't come cheap either. But then you've got this kid, Andrew Gaff, and I call him a kid. He's still only 25. Feels like he's been around a long time, playing career best footy.
Yeah, is he a transformational type player? Like,
not in the manner of Nick Nat. What he is a complementary star.
Yeah, a very good way of describing, and a great gut running type.
Oh, the best I player. Think. Yeah. Probably nearly the best gut runner in the competition.
But all those clubs that lack outside class. He's option A1, isn't he? So,
can I just ask this? I like doing this, just lining up players. Okay, yeah. If you had Tom Scully there as a possible recruit, or you had Andrew Gaff, Tom Scully being 100% fit,
Tom Scully,
who would you take?
Andrew Gaff.
Tom? Field Marshal?
Just Andrew Gaff, just. I really rate Tom Scully. Very
would
good player.
Would you take
player.
Tom Scully?
I'd take Tom Scully, yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
I just think he's got more burst. I mean, he's a gut runner, but he's got more burst of speed too.
Yeah, very similar players. Look, he's got a decision to make anyway, Andrew Gaff. It's not the fait accompli that perhaps a lot of people thought it was. Now, Melbourne's newfound depth, if we move across to this side of the country and rise up the ladder, is going to claim victims in the list, no doubt about it. Now, Dean Kent's one of those players. He's assessing his options. He wants greater opportunity. He wants to play midfield. So he's got his management exploring any interest that there may be from other clubs. So he's out with a hamstring injury at the moment, suffered in round 5, but he wants to play on the ball. He made a bright start this season, 20 touches, 3 goals against North Melbourne, and 17 touches, 3 goals against Hawthorn in round 4 before injury struck. He's 24, Gary, mix of speed and power, appetite for defensive pressure, you'd have to say. Would appeal to a few suitors, but they'd have to take a risk on his... Yeah, he's had some injury problems over the journey.
Dean Kent.
Dean Kent, this is. I mean, you got guys all around like Hannon, Bugs, Stretch, Hunt, Tyson, Fritch is playing every week as well. So,
as you say, you like to put a little bit of jam in the donut. We are talking to his manager a little bit later in the program.
Well, there you go. It's a question for him, Ben Knoll.
Powerful man, quick. He's like genuine, got genuine leg speed, Dean Kent. So he would be of some appeal.
I would have thought.
He was on the market.
For some of those clubs like Carlton, who like a bit of speed, North Melbourne are always after depth, Saints as well. The teams. Now, there's 15 mil of rain forecast in Adelaide tonight and a chance of thunderstorm as well. Now, Port Adelaide, you mentioned they've dropped Jack Watts, Jake Need as well. Tom Jonas is injured. Todd Marshall back is the positive and a great story, as you mentioned, Gary. Lindsay Thomas is back after the suspension called a dog act by Cameron Ling, of course. That was on Scott Selwood, so he's finally back. Jack Homsch returns as well. Jordan Ruffhead dropped as well for the Western Bulldogs. Now, there's another player that's going to be on the radar of a lot of clubs, I would have thought.
Yeah, we talked about him just before, about exactly where you would position him or what type of player you actually see him as. Just as a bit of feedback too about you asked about the Thursday nights, why they are at this time of the year.
Text messages.
Told you his tentacles reach far.
Well, this is from Patrick Keane, the AFL, straight from the horse's mouth. Thursday night matches played at bye period because it's the only way we can get a 6-day break rule between matches. Thursday teams are either coming off bye and have a 7-plus day or played previously Thursday or Friday to have a 6-7-day break. So that's the reason why.
There you go.
Bang. And to be fair, quite a few of our text messages pointed that out as well. Very nice work.
So Morris, Suckling, Dixon also injured the Dogs. Morris having minor arthroscopic surgery to repair some slight meniscus damage. The club at pains to say it's unrelated to his ACL. Now, Mitch Wallace gets another crack, surely on the radar of several clubs again. That's another one, 25 years old, pretty hard-headed player. Cordy, Webb and Biggs also in. Nick Riewoldt, he's painted the picture of life in St Kilda last night, Tim, on AFL 360 with Bob Murphy. They were discussing the Saints and the Gold Coast Suns. And they said that their boys were going down a well-worn path, the self-preservation mode. Now, David King called the Saints a selfish side, but Riewoldt and Bob Murphy said the Saints and the Gold Coast were caught in a familiar trap.
Oh, yeah, these are tough weeks. These are the really unenjoyable weeks, if you can call them that.
Uncomfortable.
Unenjoyable, the quiet,
We will talk about, you know, what will be said. It's what's not being said.
Things aren't going well and you jump into survival mode. So whichever team's able to snap out of that, they're the team that's going to win.
Grant Thomas, he's been linked with a move back to St Kilda.
Just on that one, yeah. I reckon those survival mode things were very much in vogue 10 years ago. I would be challenging the modern day player to get over that mentality. Mm. And they are two modern day players who are talking about that.
Is that hard to do, though, when you... Very hard. Examples last night. Yeah,
Full-time footballers.
Yeah, not full-time. Roosie told
they're
you
still human being. They're all humans, though.
Oh, thanks, Wisp.
But they do. Thanks for that. I know it's a simple way of explaining something, but they all suffer from the same insecurities and frailties as we all do. Oh, it doesn't matter whether they're full time or not.
That's a different argument. I thought that's pointing about the time of the year that it is in terms of the mid season drag.
No, this is about actions on field, playing the team game.
Beg your pardon.
Running to support.
I didn't see the show, so I misread that.
Grant Thomas, though, there was another show last night called The Footy Show. He's been linked by Sam Newman with a move back to the Saints. Now, Newman said that Thomas had spoken to Saints president Peter Summers about getting involved again.
Grant Thomas, I can break some news here. The gravity of the situation has captured his imagination. He rang Peter Sumner.
And the president of St Kilda?
He did. He asked Peter a couple of questions about where the club is headed. You would think that Grant would be very likely to go back to St Kilda and give them a hand. He's not going to do that because he told us he's not going to do that. But
would he like to?
He would love to. He says it would be relatively easy to put the mechanisms in place to get that side back to where it should be.
The obvious question is, what hat would he wear if he went back there?
Did he say he Peter wants Sumner? To, but he won't? Did he Sam said he won't be doing that?
That confused me, yeah.
He would love to, but he won't be.
He'd love to, but he won't be.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
No.
Well, you know Tom. I give him a call. Ask him.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I will. Cricket. Australia has crashed
now.
To
the... Now.
On air.
Text
on
him. Air. Australia's crashed to defeat in the opening game of the one-day series against England at the Oval. We batted first. We were bowled out for 214 inside 47 overs. England winning with 3 wickets in hand, 3 overs to spare as well. Glenn Maxwell, the shining light, was 62, while debutant Michael Nesser took 2 wickets. World Cup starts tonight, or the early hours of tomorrow morning. Russia playing Saudi Arabia. But all the talk about Spain, who incredibly sacked manager Julen Lopetegui just 2 days out from their opening match. Spanish FA were left furious after Lopetegui took the Real Madrid job on the sly. Director of football Fernando Herrero will be his replacement. His experience in management is 1 season with a second division club, Tim. That's stepping into the Lions Den. Last night, the USA, Canada and Mexico given the 2026 World Cup, beating out Morocco. A bit of cycling. Aussie Tour de France contender Richie Porte now leads the key lead-up race, the Tour de Suisse, after last night's Stage 5. And the US Open golf starts tomorrow. Tiger Woods revealing his plans to stay on his super yacht, Privacy, to avoid the infamous Long Island traffic snarls. Just duck back there in the Sag Harbour, get in the jacuzzi, watch a nice film or something like that, a bit of Shawshank Redemption, then tuck yourself in for the night on the 150-footer?
155, to be exact. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I like it.
Great way to prepare yourself.
Better than sitting in traffic for 2 hours, Gary.
Beautiful. Are we going to put a call into Tomo? I reckon we should.
All right. Let's do it.
That would be the best way to clarify that situation, would it not?
Let's get to the bottom of it. We'll give him a buzz.
Do that. Are you finished there?
Yes.
Well, nice work. Just while Patrick Keane is listening and answering our questions, and we love it, Patty, thanks for that. This is a question too. Why is there a standalone game on Sunday and it starts at 3:20? Less will go than if it was a 1:45 or a 2:10 to start, especially for travelling Cats fans.
You can answer that one, Tim.
No, I can't because it's a Fox game, is it not?
It is. A standalone Fox game.
Stand corrected. I thought that was the key lead-in news.
It's not a Channel Wisp game. Yeah. Maybe Pat might be able to help us out with that one as well. Thank you very much, Field Marshal. We can't even get Tom on the line.
A lot in all that, Field Marshal. You may need a Bex to lie down and a milk arrowroot biscuit with some nice warm milk.
I think he should have a day off more often because he comes back sharpened.
Every second day.
After the break, Matty Wright from the Blues. Game number 150 this weekend. A bit to talk about with Matty.
Well, I'm not going to a meeting. I'm going to play golf with Sam. What she said.
Did you not hear that then?
He's obviously said something because he's just been trying to ring me.
Did you not just hear that as we had you on?
I did hear him. We did a podcast yesterday, and most of it's true. I spoke to Peter Summers, but no different to you, Tim, at Essendon, or you, Gary, at Melbourne. You're interested in your club when it's at a crossroad, and you like to know what's going on and good things are happening, and if... anyone needs any help or advice, you're there and available. That's all that was. Would I love to be involved with St Kilda Footy Club? Of course I would, as you would love to be coach of Melbourne, Gaz, but you've got other priorities. I've got other priorities. I've got a business that I'm really keen on and loving, and I'm not interested in going back to St Kilda Footy Club. I won't. I've been there, I've done that, and I'll never go back, but I'm available to help and assist in any way or shape that the club may think I can. But they're at a pretty dark place at the moment, but I'm not interested in going back and running anything or doing anything.
No, I don't think there's... you sound a bit defensive on it. I don't think there's any criticism about the fact that you've rung Peter. But the suggestion was, as Sammy has just said, that you would love to go back, but you're saying that due to other interests and business interests, you can't.
Oh, well, if that's what he said, well, that's good. I didn't hear that.
No, I'm saying you're saying that.
Yes, yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
So no board, no any capacity whatsoever?
Mate, if I had my way, there wouldn't be a board at a club. Well, give me a board that actually makes any difference at an AFL club, for God's sake. It's an archaic, ridiculous structure that doesn't work, in my opinion.
So you did say to Peter, and I read this, or paraphrasing, correct me if I'm wrong, you did say that is he involved with the football side of things? And he sort of said, well, I'm not real, I'm involved with the business. And you said, well, if you're not involved with the footy side, you should get out of the joint.
Well, I don't know if I was as harsh as that. Am I that harsh, Gaz? I just said, well, you're the president of a footy club, and the footy club's in the premiership business, and it's in the football business. So if you don't want to avail yourself of football issues, I mean, you're obviously a very smart, intelligent guy who's been successful in business, and you may need to get more involved in footy, and maybe the fact you're not involved in football, which is the club's business, that's something you might want to do. That's all that was.
And what was his response?
I think he probably thought, well, maybe I should. I don't know. You'd have to ask Peter Summers that. I mean, but Pete's a lovely guy, and he's no criticism of him, and he gave me a lot of information about where the club's at and what they're doing and all the rest of it. So, no, it was a good chat.
So did that put... Tom, good morning, it's Timmy. Did that put you...
Hello, Tim, you're out from under the desk. There you go.
Did that put your mind at ease?
Well, mine's not at ease yet. I would like to think that Simon Lethlean's doing an exhaustive review of everything at the club and getting it back on track. I just don't want St Kilda to fall back into the dark places it's been in the past, and I think clubs need to be sustainably successful. You mean you can miss out on finals, that's okay, but you've still got to be up and about and around the mark, and I just think historically St Kilda's been in on these sort of pathways, and it's ended up turning ugly, and I'm just hoping that we can get in front of the game and avert any of that happening and redirect the ship to the direction that it needs to go, that's all.
Now that I'm out from underneath the desk, I've got another question, and that is that Sam also went on to say that you thought that the answers may have been easy and simple, that you could fix the problems at St Kilda quickly and easily. Is that in fact what you said, or is that what you believe?
Oh, look, it's a flippant comment that I just believe that if you get great people into positions the solutions come about pretty simply. You know, I think it's all about the people involved, and if you get very good people in the correct positions and you're very clinical about who you have in what positions, I think, you know, you only got to look at the great organisations, great footy clubs, they all, you can always draw a line back to the people in charge and the people that are making the decisions and providing the leadership and making hard calls and all of that, Tim. You know that, you know, whether it's a Kevin Sheedy at Essendon similar P. Ron Barassi at Melbourne, or whether it's a Jeff Kennett's leadership at Hawthorn, or whatever it may be. I mean, I just think that it all comes down to getting the people right, and I don't think clubs always get the people right.
So is Alan Richardson that sort of leader for that footy club?
I don't want to ridicule anyone, but to me, Richo doesn't seem to be. I think he was an outstanding development coach. I don't know why we pull outstanding development coaches and outstanding assistant coaches out and put them in charge of organisations. I don't know why we do that, but to me, Richo, seems to flounder a little bit in the leadership part of things. But if we get great people around him, there's no reason why he might not be able to do what Bomber Thompson was able to do, or what Damien Hardwick is able to do with Neil Barmer around him, and Nathan Buckley's reinvented himself and redirected himself. It's people. It's the right people around. I don't know whether Richo's got the right people around to give him the best chance to be successful. I don't even know if he's the right person to be successful. I don't know enough about him. But that's something that the club needs to find out. They need to make a strong and hard decision on that. If he is the right person, put great people around him. If he's not the right person, they've got to make a hard call. And then they've got to replace him with a better person, a guaranteed better person, rather than just throwing more turds at the wall, if you like.
What time's the tee off?
In about half an hour.
You got him covered? You got Sammy covered?
The first tee shot might be your mate Sander.
we enjoy talking to you, so thanks for taking our call.
Pleasure, guys. All the best.
Thanks, Tommy.
All right, Thomas. Matthew Wright has been one of the great pickups for the Carlton Footy Club, who have done it tough over the past 3 or 4 years, but he's been an absolute shining star. Played 94 with the Crows. He's playing 150 his game number 150 this weekend with the Blues. Been good enough to join us. Hey, Matty, thanks for joining us, mate, and thanks for just hanging on for a few minutes while we sort a couple other issues out.
No worries. Thanks for the kind words, Gary.
No, hey, I've loved watching you go about it. Were you always a natural goal kicker? I didn't get that sense when you were at the Crows.
No, I started probably more as a midfielder, and then sort of mid-forward, and then ended up forward predominantly when I come across to the Blues. It sort of worked out well.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you look at a player that you think, oh, he's been doing that since, you can see junior players, the minute they go and play their first game of footy, they know where the goals are. Were you that sort of player or not? Because you look like it.
I always enjoyed kicking a goal. Yes, I do. I suppose it wasn't overly sort of natural for me. It's one of those things that once you start to do it in a few games, you sort of tend to enjoy it, and that feeling, you just want to try and replicate it week in, week out.
Hey, Matty, congratulations. How much time do you spend on the goal kick? Because we hear this all the time from players. Oh, there's never enough time to go out there and have a kick for goal, and we get dragged off the track, that type of thing. How much time do you spend on the craft of actually preparing yourself for a set shot?
I think you're right. There's all the loads and monitoring how many kicks you have. You got to find time to sort of get better at it. And then once you do lock away a routine, you just got to be real consistent with it. And now most of the boys at the footy club, if you miss a goal, they can tell you why they missed it before it sails through. So it's definitely a trained skill, and we spend a lot of time on it at the footy club, and it's one of those areas of football. If you can improve that, then it gives you a fair head start.
It's been widely reported today in the paper, The Age, back page lead, Kurno, Cripps to sign on. I mean, you must be excited to hear that as one of their teammates.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been sort of real sort of key pillars for us this year, and they're going to be fantastic players long term for this footy club. And the quicker we can sort of lock those boys away, the better it's going to be. And just gives the team a bit of stability and, the confidence for others to then go, yeah, well, we're heading in the right direction and we want to hang around as well.
And you've been at a successful club, a big club like the Adelaide Crows, who have, been largely successful since they joined the competition. So yep. You're well placed. Are you confident? I guess it's a bit of a Dorothy Dixer because you're not going to turn around and say no. But from what you're seeing at Carlton, how confident are you that they've got it right or are getting it right?
Yeah, I'm super confident. We keep saying that we feel better than a 10-1 side at the minute. We feel like we're playing better footy than what the ladder's sort of showing. We just haven't been able to string it together for four quarters, and that's a part of our growth and getting better going forward. But we've seen we've got some pretty good players, in the key posts for us. And if we can keep developing the blokes that are coming through the system that are new to the system, we reckon we've got all the pieces to the puzzle. We've just got to put it together for four quarters now, week in, week out.
Talking to Matthew Wright from the Blues, plays his 150th game this weekend, 11 minutes past 8 o'clock. You and your wife, Anna, are dog people, Matthew. You've got a Dalmatian called Daisy. You've got a Kelpie cross named Hugo. Once a week, you volunteer at Melbourne's Lost Dogs Home. And you'd also like to introduce the possibility of maybe players walking out with a dog pre-game that can be adopted. Is that right?
Well, I sort of spitballed the idea a bit last year. I seen it in a, I reckon it was a Mexican soccer game. And you know how you normally walk out with the kids pre-game. So I thought it wouldn't be a great idea if you did it 1 week with all the dogs from the animal shelter and helps them get adopted, then it's a happy ending for everyone. So
I love it.
That's the idea behind it. So hopefully we can get it to happen.
Have you tried to move the idea forward in any way?
Yeah, we have. The biggest sort of hurdle at the minute is the crowd noise with all the dogs. They're not too sure how the sort of the dogs will react pre-game, but it's something that we're sort of working on, and hopefully we can get it done.
I thought you were going to say cleaning up after the dogs or something like that.
Yeah, we might need a sweep of the ground before the game starts.
A little pooper scooper out there will do the job.
One of those Kelpies went for $22,000. I don't know if you saw that on the news last night. Matty, that's not the one you've got, is it?
Definitely not my boy. That's a fair price.
That's a good wedge. Good luck, mate. We appreciate you just hanging around and giving us a few minutes. Good luck, 150. You've enjoyed watching you play, and we'll enjoy you watch you play this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the support.
Matty Wright, he's underrated, Wisp. I know you spoke about Josh Thomas yesterday. Kicked 5 in that season opener against the Tigers.
And he's uncontracted.
Out of contract. And there are club circling, as you would expect. His manager's been good enough to join us on the line, Benny Nile, who's got a very busy few weeks, months coming up. Welcome, Ben.
Oh, g'day, fellas. How you going?
Nice to talk to you. When you're sitting down watching Jordan just go bang in that first quarter and put inside 56 times and just dominate from the midfield, having dominated forward, are you just rubbing your hands together?
Oh, I am, mate. He's doing... you can't do any better negotiating than what he's been doing on the field. Makes me look pretty good. So I just sit back and watch. No, he's always had the talent to be something quite special, and he's still got a long way to go. He's just scratching the surface of his potential, but the good news is he's on the right trajectory in terms of his, you know, his personal and professional habits, which obviously are well documented. He's come a long way, and more than anything else, I'm just really proud of him, because what's happening on the field is a reflection of a lot of personal growth and development as a young man who's just becoming more self-aware and growing up and in the spotlight. You know, he had a pretty tough moment earlier in the year. You know, we all mark up every now and then, but not all of us are a front page on the Herald Sun, back page Herald Sun, two pages in the middle. So it's pretty intense experience, and it was pretty distressing for him, and we're all a bit worried about him. But he's got some great teammates, and they've really challenged him in a really good way, which he needed. And more importantly, he's responded in a great way, and he's showing it on the field now. So what you see on the field is the output of a lot of changes in both professional and personal habits, and it's just great to see. He's in a good place.
He looks like it. I reckon you can see that in the way some players play, because they play happy, which is a funny thing to say. What's your philosophy? Everyone that's listening now would be saying, right, you're the manager of this bloke who's the hot property. Every club in the comp would like to have a chat with him. He's out of contract. What's your philosophy and what's your role? When clubs contact you, do you go straight to Jordan and say, I've had a phone call from X, you know?
No. It depends on the individual player, Gary, you know, and how they would handle all the information. And
yeah, so tell us how it's going to happen.
So what we did, let's go roll the clock back. At the start of the year, we sat down with Collingwood, and I sat down with Ned, and said, look, let's not even have a conversation about potential and all that. Let's give this till the middle of the year. Let's see if he embeds the right behaviours and standards. And if we see the behavioural changes on a good trajectory and the form is going well, we're not arguing about whether he's changed. We're arguing about what he's worth.
Yep.
And then you can go to, you know, and obviously the market tells you what he's worth on if he leaves, and there's a price to stay and a price to go. But we wanted to let it go and get as much information as we could. So we always agreed with the footy club that around the middle of the year, sort of the next couple of weeks, we'll sit down and just start a conversation. And obviously, you know, my phone's been ringing all year. My phone, well, I'm getting texts like during games from people
from clubs?
Look, it's a good industry and it's very transparent. I mean, he's not the only player. He's getting a lot of publicity, but there's Tom Lynch and Gaff and there's some McGovern, much more proven players are in the market who are, you know, hot properties as well. But look, you know, my job is to help him make a really important decision about what's the best environment, where is he going to be the most successful and the most happy. If you take care of those things, then money will take care of itself over time.
No, fair enough. To 16 minutes.
Take a medium-term view with that sort of stuff.
Sorry, Ben. It's 16 minutes past 8. We're talking to the manager of Jordan Dugowie, Ben. No, Ben, so you are comfortable now, having said what you just did, that you have established in your mind what Jordan is worth?
I've got a better idea than I did 6 weeks ago, Tim. Yeah, obviously, I've talked to enough clubs and got a bit of an indication of the sorts of offers that are out there. And then there's two dimensions. There's, you can make a great offer for a player, but what are you going to do to get the deal done? Is the second question. And you've got to, I went through this with Heath Shaw and, a number of players, Chrissy Dawes. You've got to be able to get them to the destination. I'm not suggesting that that's going to happen, but, so there's two parts to it. What is the market saying that he might be worth to leave? Where is it realistic for him to go, if he goes? And what's the price to stay? And I think, fundamentally, if he's been in an environment which has been really good for him. So the first thing I want to say to all the Collingwood supporters out there is that, Jordan's been challenged by his peers in a good way, and he's been well both challenged and supported in a great way. So the club has been really good with him this year. Guys like Buddha Hocking and Brett McCaffrey and Jeremy Howe and Scotty Pendlebury doing, personal sessions with him. A lot of people have put a lot of time into trying to help him be successful and develop the right sort of habits. So, and he's in a good place, which I said at the start of the conversation. So, if he can stay, then obviously we would like to be able to facilitate that.
Hey,
but if he gets a Godfather offer, then what do you do? So we're in that sort of situation where we're not looking to leave. We're going to try and have a conversation with Collingwood. We'll try and get a deal done. But obviously, we've also got to be realistic about if there's such a huge gap, then you've got to look at it. But the first thing we've got to do is sit down with the Pies and have a conversation about all that.
Fair enough. Now, you talked about...
We hope we can get it done. I'll just say that.
Okay. There's been a couple of misdemeanors in the past. In your discussions you've had with Collingwood, do you get the sense that they feel there should be some sort of a discount based upon those misdemeanors?
No. I think they're more mature than that. I don't think so. I think what I've just said to you is that Geordie would be the first to acknowledge that a lot of people have shown a lot of care and support for him in that footy club. So that's a more important point. So I think there is every player, almost every player on every list, Gary and Tim, you stay for less money. You've all been offered money to leave the footy club. And you stay because of relationships and you're happy where you are. And you see
a future and you're building and all that sort of stuff.
Right. And the club's gone through a huge change over the last 12 months. It's on an upward trajectory and there's a lot of things to consider. But for sure, I don't think there's a discount because of bad behaviour, inverted commas. I would say that it's more about, what is the typical price to stay? What is the premium which it becomes more difficult to stay?
Hey, Ben, lots of live sport on the next few weeks. The Preston Hotel, High Street Preston, not a bad place to watch it.
Yeah, no, obviously my little superannuation there, boys. People probably know I'm a player manager as a bit of a hobby on the side. I'm pretty much a retired businessman, but I've got the Preston Hotel and we've got the world's biggest palmer north of the Yarra, 500 grams, and we actually had a palmer challenge about 4 weeks ago between Brodie Grundy, Adam Treloar, Jeremy Aaron Steele Sob, and I'm at a palmer eating race, and it was quite a spectator sport. So
who won?
Adam Treloar absolutely smashed it. He did go professional on a professional tour. He ate a 500 gram palmer. It's a 500 gram palmer with chips and a garnish on the side. We won't call it a salad. He was so arrogant, he actually won the race by about a minute, and he actually was eating the chips while they were still going. It was unbelievable.
Well, he should keep doing it because he's playing good footy.
Yes,
hey, Ben, we appreciate you joining us.
No worries,
let you go, time frame, when would you like to have it done?
I don't like to put deadlines on things. That's not right. He's playing fine, so there's no... We're going to start a conversation with the footy club, and we'll just keep the conversation going. And that's all I would really like to say.
Fair enough.
And I hope we can get something done.
That's good.
And I believe they're going to play him out of the midfield back in the forward line this week just to drop his price back down a bit, Ben.
Don't tell me that. That's the last thing we want to hear. So get him in the midfield.
Good on you, Ben. Appreciate the time, mate.
No worries. Bye.
Ben Nile, the manager of Jordan Dugowie. Before I go to our man from Sportsbet, if I'm a Collingwood supporter, I am almost getting the pipe out this morning.
Really?
Yeah. Just listening to that.
Confident that he's going to stay now.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, that is great news for Collingwood fans.
Stunning. World Cup kicks off tomorrow morning around 1 a.m. in the morning. Wisp and Spain have sacked their coach.
Yes, they have, Gary. And they have put the whole national team in turmoil as a result of that as well. So they find out that their coach has signed a contract. This hasn't been announced by Real Madrid. Somebody else, a Barcelona player, actually tweeted the fact that he had. And then they found out about it. Now they believe that he hasn't got the focus on the national team, so they've sacked him 2 days out from the World Cup and put a bloke in who has only had coaching experience with his own team for 1 year in the second division. There you go.
Yeah, unbelievable. I want to get
all over this.
I want to get your thoughts on the Australian Socceroos team too before we go off here tonight. We're looking for correspondence for each nation, by the way, so keep your nominations coming. And if you think you've got a particular affiliation to one of the sides, we want you as the correspondent so we can ring up and say, Sven, how did Sweden go in the game on the weekend?
Yes, and
we're struggling to get a Saudi Arabian correspondent. The closest we got so far is a bloke that lives at Sandringham, because he reckons it's sandy in Saudi Arabia. The National Under-18 champs are on at the moment. They've started over the last couple of weeks. I love watching them. I love getting as much information as you possibly can, and I particularly love it when there's a father-son prospect coming through, because just pricks your ears up.
Does.
And we're at the age now, you're not, you're well past it, you're nearly grandfather, but I'm at the age where the sons of players that I played against are coming through, and Scotty West has got a young fella by the name of Riley who lit it up on Sunday. The Vic Metro played Western Australia. They beat him by 18 points. Riley West had 25 touches, 9 clearances, and kicked a goal, and you reckon the Western Bulldogs recruiting team aren't just sitting back with the pipe out and just going, how good's this? Scotty, I think Scotty'd be one of those parents.
He's managing.
That sits right up the back corner.
No, right, front and centre.
Front and centre.
He's managing him.
Let's ask him. He joins us. Scotland, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Are you a back row operator, or is Tim reckons you're up the front managing him?
No, I'm very much the outer side of the ground where there is as least people as possible. Sit on my deck chair and quietly watch the game.
Well, he must have been thrilled with his performance because this is the big stage for these young men. This is the sort of the yearling sales, if you like, where they put themselves out on notice for the world to see.
Yeah, look, he had a really good game, and I think importantly too, you know, as you said, they're on the big stage. They've got four games, and it does feel like this. It feels like they've got four games to get drafted. You know, even though they've played so much footy between when they started and now, but yeah, it's always nice to get a good game away early, and he was able to do that. You know, he's been lucky enough to play in the MCG. They played the academy, played the Kangaroos reserves team early in the year, so I think that's good grounding for him, especially if they're able to get drafted and play AFL footy.
Hey, Scotty, good morning. It's Tim here. You talk about the spotlight that's on him during this carnival. Does somebody like Riley, you know, when you talk to him, does he really feel that pressure to perform over this period of time?
Well, I guess like any sons, their fathers who have made their way through the AFL system and have a longer career, I guess the focus becomes on them very early, especially in junior footy where they're running around with, you know, your number on their back or, you know, your name. So there's probably been a fair bit of focus on him probably since under-15s. He made the state team there. So I guess he's taken in his stride, and he's sort of quietly confident sort of kid. So and he believes in his ability. So I think, you know, he's taken his stride. And I know there are some kids out there, where, you know, with father-son prospects that may not go that way. He's lucky in a way that he's been able to handle it quite well over a period of time.
Hey, you're getting a message too, Scotty, that Dean Anderson's son, Noah, may have played in that same game and kicked four.
He did, yeah. Half forward, he kicked four.
Gee, that's good.
He's not eligible for the draft next year. I think he's bottom age, which makes it an even better performance. So I know they give the Academy one plays, which are the bottom age kids, all one game or two games early in the carnival. And then I think they get not pushed aside, but the top age kids then get the opportunity in the last two games to prove their worth.
That's great. That's a bottom age. I guess he'd be Hawthorn. He was at St Kilda as well. I'm not sure whether he would have played 100 games. I'll find that for St Kilda. I doubt it. So that the Hawks would be excited about that. Is Riley, I know you've got a few, is Riley your eldest, Scotland?
Yes, he is. Yeah, he's 18 next month. Then I've got twin boys that are 15 next month, and a 9-year-old who thinks he's 15. he turned 10 in August. So yeah, got the four boys, and so yeah, it's during the week and on the weekends.
Are they all playing footy?
Yeah, they all love their footy. Yeah, we're local Strathmore, and the twins are now in the Calder Cannon system. They tried out for the under-15, so they'll hopefully go through the under-16s at the end of the year, and then we'll just see what happens from there with those two.
Hey, Scotty, I'm not telling you how to run things, but with four boys, gee whiz, you could just about lock down a job with the Western Bulldogs for the rest of your life.
Well, look, it's I don't know whether it's good to be close or, you know, just one out, one back when they're at a league club. But, look, I certainly loved my coaching when I was involved in it. But I guess there comes a time where your life becomes so busy that you have to sort of, you know, prioritise it in a way that you're able to help out and do things with kids and make sure that their life's balanced so that they can make their way, not only just at footy, but through schooling as well.
Hey, Scotty, as we let you go, there'll be people out there, and particularly Western Bulldogs fans, who'll be going, righto, what is the process now? If Scott West's son, Riley, is going to be a player, we need him in Western Bulldogs colours. I know he's trained out there in the pre-season and he's at the Calder Cannon. So he, at what stage does he have to make a decision and say, well, I'm nominating as a father-son with the Bulldogs?
Well, I think that becomes a Bulldog commitment to him. I think he's pretty keen. Look, at the end of the day, I will say he wants to get drafted. He wants to be an AFL footballer. But also, at the end of the day, he has, you know, a huge probably romance with the Bulldogs, not just for the fact that I played there, but, you know, I grew up, you know, running in and out of the rooms on the ground, knows a lot of the, you know, ex-players that have played there. And obviously, he has had that experience over the pre-season with him for he was there for about 5 weeks with the players. So,
but he has a choice, Scotty, doesn't he? He has a choice to say, look, I love the Dogs, but I want to just go into the draft as normal.
No, I think he'd like to go to the Dogs. You know, I think his ties there, he really loves the club. He loves that environment. But as I said, that's not taking away from the fact that he just wants to get drafted. It's up to the Bulldogs to nominate him. That's plain and simple. Bulldogs don't commit to him. I dare say he just has to go into the draft, and he will. So, as I said, as a parent, ideally, you'd love them to stay in Melbourne, but as a parent, you also love them to live their dreams, regardless of what they're aiming for in life. So, you know, we're just hoping, you know, one, he gets drafted, but two, obviously, there's a great focus on his year 12 year as well at St. Kevin's.
Good point. Great to talk to you, mate. And with 324 games in the red, blue and white, I think another West there would be magnificent. Good luck for the young fella.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for talking to me.
Scotty West, good on you, Scotty. 7 best and fairest, 5 All-Australians.
He could be the Redoute's choice there at the Western Bulldogs.
Dean Anderson, by the way, 83 games for the Hawks and 67 with St Kilda. So his young fella, Noah, who's bottom age kick 4,
doesn't qualify.
Ineligible. So just, I'm going to clear this up with a father-son.
Yeah.
You don't have to go
to
the Western Bulldogs. No. They can nominate you, but Riley could say,
no,
look, I don't want to go there. You know, Dad was there, so I want to forge my own path.
That's my understanding. You don't have to go.
No.
As a father-son, you're quite right. Hey, we spoke to Ben Nile a little bit earlier in our program, and when we come back, you came away with one impression regarding that interview.
I did.
I came away with another impression regarding that interview.
Did you?
We're going to play a little bit of that and just see whether or not you may have got it right or I got it right or you out there have a completely different view.
It's just an opinion, Tim. It can't be right or wrong.
No, but you're right most of the time.
Shut up. And just to clear up that father-son situation, a son is not obligated to go to the club of his father played at. There's no, like, if he's played over 100 games, then that's not the only club he goes to. That's not the case.
No.
At all.
No,
like
that's
Josh Dunkley, for instance.
That's a good example.
Sydney had first crack at him. He said, no, I want to go into the draft. He did go into the draft, and the Western Bulldogs took him.
Perfectly said, Joe.
And on that, the Western Bulldogs, again, in terms of father-sons, how many have they got at the Western Bulldogs right now? They have got more than any other club that I could think of, possibly. When you go through them all.
Yeah, no, they've done very nicely out of that. And
let me run it.
Like Cordy, 4 boys. Scotty West has got 4 boys.
Cordy, Hunter, Libba, Wallace, and then others whose dads played in the AFL, Dunkley, Pickin and Gowers.
Yeah.
Bang.
Bang.
Righto, 5 for 35 things that we need to get through before we hand over to Waitley. How do you feel as a Pies fan when you heard Ben Nile this morning? I walked away going, ho, pipe out, he's staying. You,
on the other hand,
said,
have a listen to this.
If he can stay, then obviously we would like to be able to facilitate that. If he gets a Godfather offer, then what do you do? So we're in that sort of situation where we're not looking to leave. There's a lot of things to consider, but for sure, I don't think there's a discount because of bad behaviour, inverted commas.
Selective editing from you. That is selective editing.
I didn't edit anything.
Oh, rubbish.
But you were left with the impression, yeah, we're going to do it. I kept hearing Ben Nile saying, you know, if the offer is right, there's some big offers out there.
Yeah.
I think that what he was trying to do was not put fear into any Collingwood fan out there, but right. I think there's a lot of work to go before this deal gets done, Gary.
Oh, okay. Well, our ears hear different things. What did you think? 9429 1116 or 0433 981 116. Pete from Narre Warren's with you. Wispy reckons I've misread it. Or either that or this manager might be a bit smarter than he's giving credit for. That's Pete from Narre Warren. Grant Thomas earlier, off the long run, we asked him about the coach.
I don't want to, you know, ridicule anyone, but to me, Richo doesn't seem to be. I think he was an outstanding development coach. I don't know why we pull outstanding development coaches and outstanding assistant coaches out and put them in charge of organisations. I don't know why we do that.
That's an interesting point. Why we don't do that, because that's the way that we've always appointed coaches, is
yeah.
it not?
Yeah.
I mean, somebody gets experience as a development coach, as an assistant coach, and then they become the coach. You know, Tomo, better than I do.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that he's not saying here? Where does he believe the coach should come from?
No, what he's saying there is that just because you're a great development coach doesn't mean that you've got the tool. No, take Alan Richardson out of it.
No.
I'm talking broadly. He's just saying it's not a matter, of course, that just because you're a great development coach that you can then be a great senior coach.
No,
it's a different skill set.
I agree with that. Agree with that. But then, you know, like the great coach Al Clarkson, and we all recognise him as a great coach now, modern day coach, he was a development coach. He was an assistant coach to me at St Kilda for 12 months. He went and did a bit of coaching in his own right.
And then he was a senior coach.
And then he was...
Then he was a senior coach at Central Districts. And Werribee...
He went from Essendon... No, he went from St Kilda, right?
That's right.
He went to Werribee.
Yep.
He went to Central Districts over in... And then...
So he wasn't just a development coach.
No, but you didn't let me finish.
I beg your pardon.
He was a development coach for a period of time, and then he was an assistant coach, so he was actually a recruit. I'm trying to get some context and clarification around this. So what Tomo's saying is, unless you've coached in your own right, as your own team, with your own team, then you're not qualified.
I don't want to answer for him, but what he's saying is that the skill set of a development-style coach doesn't necessarily transfer to the skill set needed to be a successful senior coach.
Okay, I agree with that. I agree with that part.
Crow's reaction to Sam McClure's story yesterday was interesting. Sam's story was, and he came on here and doubled down on it, adamant that Mitch McGovern wants out and that Eddie Betts was weighing up his future as well. The response was predictable, I would have thought.
Yeah.
No one's going to come out and say, yep, you'd spot on.
No,
but,
and Eddie wasn't either.
What?
Eddie wasn't going to come out and say that it was all spot on either.
Nor was
he has to live in that environment.
Nor was his manager, and especially not was Mark Ricciuto.
He's done some big things in big moments, but he's on very good money for what he's performed so far.
Yep.
And good luck to him. Bryce Gibbs took a pay cut to come to the Adelaide Football Club. That has been well documented. He is on less money than when he was at Carlton, and he's on less money than Mitch McGovern.
There you go. So he's saying that if Mitch McGovern, paraphrasing, is bitching about not being on good money,
he's misread
Bryce
it.
Bryce Gibbs is on less.
Yeah, well.
That surprised me.
Mark Ricciuto would probably know.
No, not
Is he on the board?
Not probably.
That's what I'm saying. Is he on the board?
He runs the show.
He's probably going to know, isn't he?
Exactly right.
And this is what Eddie Betts had to say too, because he was on radio yesterday talking about the fact that he may have been a disgruntled player and was looking to move on. This is what he had to say.
I can't see myself going anywhere else. I'm finishing my career at the Crows.
Is that because your hands are tired by a 3-year contract?
Well, I mean, I'm still 2 more years on my contract.
Yeah.
But I personally said I'm going to finish my career at the Crows.
Have you said to the club, look, if you're going to keep using Collective Minds, that's fine, but I don't want to have any part of it anymore? Or has the club said to you, hey, Ed, you don't need to take part in these things anymore?
No, there's a part of Collective Minds, you know, that we were doing a lot of at the end of last year, and the stuff that I get a lot out of, and, you know, I'll continue to do that.
It's not what you say, it's what you don't say. There were parts of Collective Mind.
Yeah, he didn't answer that question directly, no. Did he?
Anyway, it's interesting. We did predict that that would be the case when you go with such a strong story like that.
You've got a view. I want to ask you this question, okay? Because anyone that's trying to paint an optimistic picture about the Australian team at the World Cup, in particular their first game against France, are saying things along the lines of a champion team,
yes,
which they believe the Australians are. Okay,
said that?
This is what I read yesterday. A champion team will beat a team of champions, which is what the French are.
I think that broadly is true. The problem with that is we're not a champion team.
Okay, so you...
Unless I've missed something.
You have...
Which I could possibly have because I'm not across it.
You're a half-empty man about the Australian performance against France. A glass half-empty.
I would be over the moon like everyone if we could win or perform well or win a game or whatever, but we're not a champion team, are we?
No, I don't think we are either.
No.
And we're
not
a team of champions. But will you be sitting down watching the game on Saturday night?
I'll be rooting for... I'll have my Socceroos...
I beg your pardon?
I'll be rooting for Australia. I'll have my Socceroos scarf on and I'll be sitting up there, absolutely.
So I will be too. Like, it's 8 o'clock on Saturday night, which is a great time, our opening game of the
Perfect
World
time.
Cup. Massive. I mean, it's going to have a massive viewing audience across the country.
I'm going to have to series link the AFL game. What is the Saturday night AFL game, by the way? Hawthorn and Adelaide, which is of some interest, so I'll have to watch that at a later stage.
That'll be a good game.
Australia takes precedence.
I think it does for most people.
Oh, no question about that, whispers. No question. Who wins tonight? I was going to ask you before you interrupted me again.
I've had to today. You haven't had a great day today.
Oh!
You started badly.
Why did I start badly?
Well, I don't know why you started badly, but I had to correct you three times in the first five minutes this morning.